Praise God. If you turn over to Ephesians 4, we talked a few weeks back. We had a message we called Equipped. And I'm going to go a little bit further in that today. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Are you guys ready this morning? Yes. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We're going to review some of this. It's been a little bit. And then we'll get into some other things. But I'm going to read some of these verses right here for context. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or encourage you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. Now notice right now, he's starting this area of the scripture, and he's saying, I encourage you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That's what he's talking about here, okay? These verses that come after it are related. So he's saying, I'm encouraging you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. He said, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now verse 11, and he gave himself some Or he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now we'll go a little further here too, but at the beginning, notice he's saying, I am encouraging you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. And now he's getting into it, and he's saying in verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. That's you and me. Okay? That's not some special people. Saints. Saints is the body of Christ. You're a saint, I'm a saint. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You're to equip us for what? The work of the ministry. Does that sound like walking worthy of the calling to which you were called, which he started? How are you going to do the work you're called to? You're going to be equipped. How are you going to be equipped? God gave gifts unto men for the equipping of the body of Christ. Of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, for us to do what we're all called to do, and each of us is called to do something. We're all called to do something. Did you know that? Yes. Everyone. God doesn't have anybody that is in his body and is in his family that he said, well, you just sit on the bench. I don't have anything for you to do. Now, there's a timing for everything. God has timing. Timing is everything with God. People, sometimes they feel they're called to something, but they get out of God's timing. You need to be equipped for what God has called you to do, and he will grow you, and he will test you one step at a time. Say, God doesn't test people. Yes, he does. Why wouldn't he? He doesn't send sickness or disease on you, no. But what God was not going to, he's not going to send you into something unless you know you're ready. Amen. You know, that's what a test is at school. We may have not liked them, but you know, a test is a good thing. A test shows you where you are. The point is not to just ace the test for the sake of acing the test. It's to learn the material. right? I know, at least me, I know I'm guilty of, you know, cramming and trying to get, you know, geography and certain things. I couldn't name half the stuff I got A pluses on, you know, when I just cram, memorize. And, well, a test will show you where you're at. The point is you're supposed to say, oh, I'm lacking here. I need to go study this. The test is not an end in and of itself. You're not, oh, gosh, I got a B on that test. Okay, what did you miss so that you can get an A next time? That's the point. Well, the Lord will do the same thing. He doesn't, you know, some people get it all mixed up and they think, you know, the Lord is sending evil your way. No, that he doesn't send evil your way, but he will just, he's preparing you for something, and he's going to let you go into the fray. In other words, he doesn't put you up against an opponent, you know, in the fifth level, unless you can knock out somebody in the first level. So he's going to let you go. Not putting you in some weird situation. It's just life. He's going to let you go and see what you do. And if you get knocked down, it's not God knocking you down. It's the enemy and life. We live in a curse-filled world. Did you know that?
Yes.
Devil-filled world. There are demons. There are devils. There is a Satan. There is a devil. That he does not want you to succeed. He is the enemy of God, and you're in God's family. That makes you his enemy. And he doesn't like you, and he wants to see you hurt because he doesn't like God. So he's going to, the world is filled with his ideas and men that don't have any idea what they're saying, but they're just spouting what they've heard and have been put into the world that are lies by the enemy himself, and people just parrot them, and the world is full of that kind of influence. So you don't need to go very far to meet up with this. You just have to breathe and live and walk around and talk to people. You're going to hear the enemy's influence in their thoughts, because he's a liar. He's introduced all kinds of ideas into the earth that aren't godly. Okay, so then you're going to go and you endeavor to follow the Lord and do what you're called to do. You're going to come up against some of this. And as you do, the enemy will always, the enemy is the, he was the proud one that thought he could take on God. How proud is that? I'm going to take out the Almighty. I'm going to take some of my buddies and we're going to take out the Almighty. You got to be just, you're not thinking right if you're going to do that. Well, he does this same thing to men. Now, you're ready for that. Even if it's what God's called you to do, you're ready for it now. Why don't you go? Do it. You can do it. You can do a better job. And he knows you're not ready, but he'll get you puffed up. I'm going to go out. I don't have to wait. I'm going to do it now. I'm ready. You better be sure God has equipped you and you're ready and it's the Lord leading you and not you thinking you're ready. You don't want to get out of God's timing. The enemy will set you up. He'll try to bait you to get out of God's timing, but the Lord won't. If you'll just be led by the Lord, you're going to hit things in life and you're going to think, well, what's going on? I thought I was in the will of God. Nobody said you wouldn't have any problems in the will of God, but he said we'd be overcomers in them. You're going to hit some things. That's okay. You just need to know what to do. And if you hit something and you go, oh no, and you back off, you just got your answer. That was a test and you failed. Now, you're supposed to go home and cry about it and just say, oh no, I guess I'm not worthy. You need to say, look, I guess maybe I need to be stronger. I need to go be equipped, study, whatever. I wasn't ready for that. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. The right answer is not, forget it, I'm going to quit. The right answer is, Lord, show me. Help me. Bring me up. And how does he do that? Part of how he does that, he said he gave gifts to men to equip us, to bring us up so that we could be built up and do the work of the ministry. Did you read what I read? Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth. What's the truth? The Lord is the truth. His word is truth and light. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body for the edifying of itself in love. So he said he gave us gifts that would teach us, that would help us, that would enlighten us in what? In truth, in the word, and is going to grow us up, is going to help us, is going to edify us, is going to equip us to do what we need to do to fulfill our destiny here on the earth. That's what God did for us. He gave us the ability. That's why it is so important for us to be hooked up in a local church. It is not, you cannot fulfill everything you're supposed to do without being in a local church. Everybody should be part of a local body, and it is not for us to decide. We ought to go to the Lord prayerfully and say, Lord, where should I go? Where have you hooked me up? And then we need to be faithful and go right where he told us to go, and we don't move until he tells us it's time to go. And people in our day and age, in this society, people are generally pretty self-centered. The society is very self-centered, and it's pretty much whatever I want, that's what I'm going to do. So it doesn't gel with this. And so what people do is, well, I want to go here. I want to go there. If you believe what we're talking about here, that God gave gifts unto men, that God gave us specific equipment, that equipment isn't everywhere for every person. In other words, not everybody is supposed to be in all places. Not everybody's supposed to be in China. Not everybody's supposed to be in Boston. Not everybody's supposed to be in California. Not everybody's supposed to be in Africa. We're supposed to be in a particular place, being equipped for a particular job, and the Lord knows that, and we're not supposed to get out from that position until he moves us somewhere else. It's not about you and I saying, well, I'm ready to do something else. So, who is our Lord? Who is our Lord? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. A lot of people say, well, you know, Jesus is my Lord. You know how you can tell Jesus is someone's Lord? Do they do what he tells them to do? Some people say, well, he's my Lord, but I'm basically running my own life. That's not the same thing. So I want to be equipped. Do you, let me ask you a question. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you want to fulfill God's plan for you on the earth? You don't have to raise your hand. But everybody, if you're a Christian and you think, yeah, everybody would be like, yeah. But saying this and then doing it are two different things. Did you know that? Anybody found that out? It's like somebody said, it's what people say, what people do, what people say they do, they're all different things. And the one that matters is what you do. You can tell people what you do and give the impression. You may not outright lie, but it's pretty easy to say, give the impression that you do certain things and you're not doing them. Well, you know what? Does anybody think they're fooling God? God knows exactly what you did for the last however many years in every place that there was no person. He knows exactly your track record. Does he not? He knows mine. Is that true?
Yes.
There's no fooling him. You can give impressions to man, but God is not fooled. And he is a good God. And you can beg with him, and you can plead, and you can try to get something to happen, but he is very patient. And if he tells you to do something, and you're not going to do it, guess who's going to be the last one standing? He's very patient. In other words, he's not going to wait 3 decades and go, okay, right, whatever, you can do it. It's not going to happen. Guess what happens if a person decides, I'm not going to do that? How many decades are you going to live here? As sooner or later, I don't care how old you get, you're going to leave this earth, and God, you're going to go ask God, well, what was the problem? That thing I told you to do 70 years ago? Why didn't you do it? Oh, that? I thought you changed your mind. Really? Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And some people, God has already told them what they need to do, and what are they doing? They're waiting for more. They don't like that, see? So they're going to wait. I want something else. Not going to happen. Well, I don't like that. You're supposed to be here. Well, I got mad, or I don't like that. So? Well, I want to be here. I'd rather be called to Hawaii, or like, you know, Pastor Dave was saying last week, or California, or wherever. I don't want to go to... You know, people are so scared that if they tell God they'll go anywhere, he's going to send them, and you name the place. They have some place in their head where if I say whatever, I'm going there. I know it. You know, you name whatever country that you don't want to go to. They think for sure, if you tell the Lord whatever that he's saying, I was waiting for somebody that would volunteer, you're on the next bus out of here. God is not like that. But you do need to have that heart. We need to have that heart. Whatever. Whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. And so many people are saying, well, I'm ready to do this, and I'll just name it. I'll do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And they're not ready. And that's not what God's calling them to do. And if you were there, you would find out that's not really what you need to do. And so many times it's the grass is greener. And I want to do this, and why aren't I called to do this? And so I try to do this, even though I'm not equipped at all to do this. I'm really equipped to do this, but I despise this because I know it. Amen? If we just boil it down, do we want to do what the Lord has called us to do? Do we? Not yes, yes, of course. Inside, we need to all be honest with ourselves. Do I want to fulfill what the Lord would have me to do in the short time I have here on the earth? If the answer is a true yes, then what we need to do is say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, and trust him to do what he said he would do. He said he would equip us to do that. But he has some very basic things. He said you ought to be hooked up with a local body. And you are going to be fed what? What is going to make you grow? The word is going to make you grow. You're going to have to yield to the word. But it's not just any word. It's not just you going off and saying, well, I'm going to figure it out. God made a structure by which we are to be helped to grow. And it's not a man, it's not men. It is the anointing of God Almighty that he said he gives gifts. And so we all ought to be part of a local body in a local structure so that we can be equipped. If we're serious, there is this idea that I can be just as good a Christian out by myself and doing whatever and not going to a church as I can in church. That is absolutely incorrect. We will not be equipped. We will not be equipped like we ought to. What is equipped? Did I put that on your sheet? I think I did. I think I just cut and paste the whole thing. Usually I don't do that, but I realized I did. There, you don't have to write it down. Equipping. It's a making fit, preparing, training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. In classical language, the word is used for setting a bone during surgery. That's equipping. We went over that a little bit the last time. It's like you being in the right time. Do you want your femur, you know, being, you know, up in your arm? Your leg bone being up in your arm. That's not the place it goes. It's not going to fit. You know, your little toe, the bone or whatever, is not going to work as well in your hand. But people do this all the time in the body of Christ. Well, it just doesn't matter where I'll go. I'll go where I like it. That's like, you know, one body part, my ear, working in my knee. I don't want it there. It doesn't work there. It's not doing what it's supposed to do there, right? That's obvious and laughable and silly, but that's what a whole bunch of Christians are doing. It doesn't matter. I can go wherever, and I think I'd like to do this. It's not that way. Equipping, God said, He is going to equip us, and that's a making fit. It's a preparing. It's a training, a perfecting, a making fully qualified for service. Equipping implies a recovered wholeness as when a broken limb is set and mends, a discovered function, or another meaning is a discovered function as when a physical member is properly operating. I like that. That's equipped. When I'm where I'm supposed to be, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's like it's a well-oiled machine. I'm doing what I need to do. I know I'm doing what I need to do, and I like it, and I'm settled, and I'm just effective. That's equipped. How do we get there? We don't get it by just doing whatever we would want to do. God knows where that is. Now, I'm not saying you may go through some things. God may say, I want you here, and you go, what? You want me here? And your flesh and your mind, if you haven't renewed it to what God is saying, may say no. But if you're sensitive to what's going on the inside, your spirit will say, that's right, that's where I need to be. And even though your head doesn't wrap everything, can't wrap around why that would be good, your spirit is saying, yes, we need to do that. That's what in your spirit is bearing witness. With the Spirit of God's bearing witness with your spirit and saying, that's what we need to do. And it's picking up on the heart of God, and God already knows that it's going to be good. Amen. He knows what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years, and He's saying, you may not see it, buddy, but this is what you're going to be able to do, and it's going to be good for you. You're going to be firmly set where I need you to be set, and you're going to be equipped, and it's going to be good, and your head may go, I don't want to do that. Your mind may say, no way, I've heard too much. But if you look inside, your spirit will never lead you wrong. But so many people are looking at the outside, looking at where they are now. They're looking at the external. They're not looking at the inside, which God is leading them. Do you believe God knows the future better than you know your past? So He knows where you're supposed to go. He knows what you're supposed to do. He knows everything about what your capabilities are, right? He knows fault lines in your life. You know what a fault line is? It's a place like in the earth where this thing may not look like it's about to fall apart, but if you put enough pressure on it, it will break. God knows the fault lines in your life that you are not even aware of there. And if you think, well, I can do it, and you're going to do it in your own strength, you could run into something like that and break and say, God, what happened? It wasn't God. If you listen to God, He'll mend that. He'll strengthen it so He knows what kind of pressure you can handle. So when you do run into something, pressure is put on that, but it's already been taken care of by the Lord. He already equipped. He already set you. He already made you whole. And so that thing comes and the pressure comes and you stand. That's what the Lord will do. That's what the equipping of the Lord does. You don't go by your head. You don't go by worldly ideas. You go by what the Lord is directing you to do. You go by what the Word is telling you to do. And this happens. This is a process over time as we yield to Him, as we do what we know to do now. You don't need another instruction. This would be like you talking back to your GPS system and saying, take a right in 2 miles. And you're like, yeah, but what's next? And you know you can look at what's next. You get in trouble sometimes. You try to look at what's next, put in the other mode where you look at the overview. You try to look at that when you're driving. That's where you get into trouble because there's too much detail right there. All you need to know is turn right in 2 miles. That's what you need to know. But I want to know the next thing. Well, that's fine, But what you need to know as the driver is, I need to turn right in 2 miles. And then you'll find out what the next move is, right? If you say, I don't want to know, I'm not going to turn right until I know what the next move is. Guess what you're going to do? Blow right by your exit, miss it. You're going to end up somewhere you didn't want. You to go, God, what's going on? I told you to turn right 200 miles ago. What are you doing? Why didn't you turn right? Well, I want to know the next thing. I tell you the next thing once you turn right. That is so blatantly obvious. No, I mean, nobody, I wouldn't say nobody. Most people would not do that and then complain that it was the GPS system's fault. Well, I missed the turn. I mean, they're not infallible. Sometimes they, you know, take you in the wrong place. Those maps are being improved all the time. But in general, you know enough. Most people have enough sense that if the thing told me to turn, that's what I needed to do. And if I missed that turn and ended up somewhere, I'm not saying it's the GPS fault. I said, I should have moved. But all kinds of people will blame God and say, why didn't I get where I was supposed to do? Well, you know that thing where I told you to turn. Oh, you meant it. You actually wanted me to do that? Yes. And if I would have done that, there were all kinds of things that were past that I would have found out as I walked it out in faith, and I would have been ready for what God had for me. Amen? This is a process, and this happens one step at a time. God in the Word and, you know, in experience, He just doesn't lay everything out. You're equipped for what He has for you today. I remember Pastor Hagin saying in one of our classes, he said, whatever God tells you to do, when I was at Ramey, he said, whatever God tells you to do, you'll have enough to get started. In other words, if He's telling you to do something, you don't need to have it all figured out. You'll have enough faith, enough whatever you need to get going on it, and then guess what? You need to walk by faith, and you'll get the next thing, and you'll be equipped and stronger, and so the process will happen. But if you go and look at it and think of what that means 2 years down the road, you'll look at it and go, there ain't no way. Well, there ain't no way right now. You don't have to worry about now, though. You have to say, can I take the next step? And if it's the Lord, it will always be yes. And if you say, but I want to know the next five or else I'm not taking this step, you will miss God. Because you think, I need to know the whole package before I can take the next step. And God is not going to change for you or me. He demands faith. It is not hard. It is impossible to please Him without faith. And so if you think, well, I want to know it all, and then I'll do what you're telling me. I want to see where all the money's going to come from. I want to see where all the people, you know, all the decisions are going to come from. I want to know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And then, if I feel so inclined, then I'll sign up for your plan. He wants you to say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And when you get the direction to do such and such, okay, I can do that. And you will always be able to do that. Now, you may discount it. You may think it insignificant. Excuse me. And people do this all the time. They say, well, that's fine. I could do that. But then I just still don't see how I'm going to do the next step, so I'm not going to do it. It's insignificant. It's not insignificant. You take the next step, and God will show you what to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, we got into that, some of those things a little bit more than I intended, but that's good. I won't take any of it back. Praise the Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Let's keep going on in Ephesians there. Let's pick up in verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I want you to notice some things. In verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." That having their understanding darkened. We're not supposed to walk like everybody else. We're not supposed to walk like people that have no light, like the unsaved, like people that aren't Christians. Look around and say, "Well, nobody else is doing what I'm doing." Well, you mean nobody? Or you mean all the other people that you know that aren't serving God and haven't said, "Jesus, you're my Lord"? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to walk differently. We're supposed to be enlightened. This equipping implies us being qualified for service. Service of what kind? Service, serving the Lord, doing His work. And I'm telling you, the more and more, as time goes by, we'll stick out more and more like a sore thumb. In this day and age, the more godly you act, the more it just completely is a just difference and standing out and contrast to what the world is doing. It looks so much different. So we shouldn't be surprised when we say, "Well, Lord, as I'm walking godly, as I'm walking after Him, that it looks different than those around us." Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, it's talking about unbelievers. We're not supposed to walk this way. We're not supposed to have ignorance of the Word in us. As we get the Word in us, as we're taught, as we're equipped, the places that we are ignorant, because we all are ignorant of something, you know, ignorant means you just don't know. We don't know as we ought to know, as we're going to know. In other words, you don't know the way you're going to know when you step into heaven and go, "Oh, okay, that's why that was. I understand now." You don't know everything. I don't know everything. All of us have blind spots, if you will. That's not a bad confession. That's in your understanding. How do you navigate life even though you don't know everything? You follow the Word and the Spirit of God. In other words, if you have light on a subject, you don't violate that light. You don't need to know everything. Just know, if I know the Word says this, I'm going to do what the Word says. I don't care if I understand it or not. If the Spirit of God is quickening you to do something, He can lead you in line with the Word when you don't know the Scriptures that are backing up what you're doing. But if you'll go with the Spirit of God on the inside, you'll be led right in the right place. But the more we grow, the more that we are equipped in the Word of God, the less you're going to have places that are ignorance. You're not going to have blindness like it's talking about, the way the Gentiles walk. The Gentiles, that means people without God, they're the ones, they are going to walk in blindness and ignorance. As children of the light, as children of Almighty God, we're supposed to walk in the light. There's things that we are going to be, we'll see in the Word, and we have to take it and say, "Okay, that's truth. That's right. I will act on that." If God shows you something in your life, like what we talked about, that you need to do, you need to act on it. If you see something in the Word and you know that's the way you ought to act and that's the way you ought to behave, you don't need to have it confirmed 18 more times. We just need to do it. So like we talked about God asking you to do something specific in your life, same thing applies if you see something in the Word and you have light on it, you see it. In other words, you may have heard that, but now you see it in your own life. You see, I need to act on, I see this. This is the Word of the Lord. Now if you violate it willfully, you are setting yourself up for your understanding to be darkened because you have been enlightened. You have seen something. And if you say, no, I'm still going to persist in doing what I know I shouldn't do, that leads you to fog and darkness. It leads you, it's the same thing as just negating a direction of God that came specifically for your life. If you look at the Word and you say, yes, that's what I ought to do. That's what I should do. I see that. Clear, black and white, God is saying yes. So that thing I've been doing, I shouldn't do that anymore. And I see it. Now it's one thing if we say, we shouldn't do something and we're doing all we know to do and we're growing in it and, you know, you're dealing with your temper. You know you shouldn't do certain things and you lose your temper. There's one thing to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it. I'm growing in that area. Help me to do better. And you repent. You say, whoever, I'm sorry. If you offended somebody or if you just, you know, berated somebody, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I lost my temper. Immediately, if you do it, don't say, well, that's just the way it is. Say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. It's another thing to say, I see it. I'm supposed to change it, but I can't do it. And I'm not going to do it. And to keep on doing it. Those are two different things. God will help you, and he'll help you to walk out His Word. But to say, I see that in the Word, but I'm going to still persist in doing what I know is wrong, you put yourself in bad territory. That is acting like God's Word is not true, and acting like He isn't able to help us. Look at Psalm 119 on your sheet. 119, 130, it says, the entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. Look at right under that in Psalm 119, 23, it says, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes, and your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Word it calls the Word light. It gives light. As we see the Word and see what it's telling us to do, we are equipped. We start to see things maybe that have confused us in the path. In the past, we start seeing, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. You can see it so clearly. There are times as the Word's going forth and you're under the anointing and the Spirit of God is moving and helping us to understand things, things can become so clear. And you say, why didn't I see that? Why didn't you? You're reading the Word and you're going, that is so clear now. Because we're being taught by the Holy Spirit. Now, He'll do this in your own life at home. If you'll ask God when you read the Word, say, God, I'm reading Your Word. Quicken me. Show me. Give me light. And you approach it like that, He'll give you. Right when you start reading, He'll start giving you quickening. He'll start giving you direction. But there is something else like what's going on right now. It's something that it's not supposed to take the place of your devotions, of your personal time with God, but it is added to. You will get things that you won't get just reading it by yourself. Why? God gave gifts, equipping. There are things that you're going to see, and it's not a man. It's the Spirit of God that He's quickening His Word. He's giving you light in His Word. He's reading, He's telling you things between the lines. Things that aren't being said, but it's quickening inside going, this, you see this, how this is happening? See what that, I was talking to you over here, or this is what that meant, and it's just becoming clear. How does that happen? It happens because the Word is light, and the anointed Word, that means how the Holy Spirit is going and working with gifts and with the Word, it brings us up a level. It's understanding, it's equipping, it's what we need to walk out His purposes in this life. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he said, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, it's on your sheet there, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow. Does that sound like what we were reading over in Ephesians, where it say that we may, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things, who is the head? Verse 14 said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Do you know we're not supposed to be running after every little thing here and there? There are things all the time, people coming up with ideas and words. They'll quote scripture, but it's not sound teaching and doctrine. And if we're children, if we're not hooked up, we'll run here, we'll run there, we'll run everywhere. Every time somebody comes up, we're just like a wave, unstable. Well, somebody's saying this, maybe that's what I need. Well, wait, maybe this is what I need. God will grow us up step by step. He'll tell us what we need. So many people are in this situation, like what we talked about earlier, where the thing they need is to do the word they've already heard, and that will bring them to the next stage. And what they're doing is looking for some new magic wand to just make all my problems go away. And the problem is, they can go and they can give a sad sob story and say, well, this, I've done the word, and I've done this, and I've done this, and they're still here. That is not true. That is not true. That's saying, I've done everything God told me to do, but God just can't help my problem. Do you think that's true? That's not true. God told you to take a right 200 miles ago, and you won't do it, and you don't want it that way, and you won't yield to Him, and you're saying, but my problem is still there. I want it a different way. And it won't go away until we yield to Almighty God and humble ourselves and grow up in the things of God and say, okay, I'll do that. I'll do what you're telling me to do. I see it clearly in the Word of God. I will act on it. Amen. This will save your life. Literally. Some people know to do the Word, and they will not do it. They want it a certain way. They will not yield, even if it's black and white in the Word. You can spell it out. It says this in the Word, but I don't want it that way. I will not do it. And then what are we? Children. So you know what happens? This is where a large segment of the body of Christ is. We want somebody go tell me what I want to hear. The Bible calls it itching ears. I want somebody to preach it to me the way and tell me so that I don't have to do that thing that God told me to do, but I can still be just as blessed and prosperous and everything anyway. That's what I want to hear. And if somebody starts telling me it, then I'm with you. And now I'm on this bandwagon. I want to hear that because it makes me feel good and makes me feel like I don't have to do what God told me to do. But it is not true. We will always have to do the word, and it will never be unjust. And so this is another thing people start saying. Well, it is just too hard, and so those are works of the law. I just can't do it. God is not, He's not putting some yoke on us that we can't bear. Doesn't it say in the Word that His yoke is easy? His burden is light. So if He tells us to do something, number one, it's for our best interest. It is for our good. It is exactly the thing we need to know. Number two, it doesn't matter if we don't understand it. It is still for our best interest, in our best interest. It is exactly what we need to do. What do we have to do then? We have a choice. Am I going to do it? Am I going to grow up? You know, when you start growing up, you can know how mature you are by what dominates you. The more we just do the word, regardless of how we think, regardless of how we feel, and when I say think, regardless of what our natural man would tell us, because as you renew your mind to the Word of God, you will start thinking in line with the Word of God. And your thinking won't give you problems as much. But regardless of what I feel like, regardless of what my opinion is, regardless of what all these people are telling me to do that aren't Christian, that aren't serving the Lord, that aren't looking to the Word to be their final authority, but they're saying this and this, regardless of all that, if the Word says something, if the Spirit of God is quickening something, that is what I'm going to do. That is called a spiritual person more than a carnal. 1 Corinthians talks about this, spiritual versus carnal. A carnal person is somebody that's led by their senses. But the pure milk of the Word will help us grow. As we let it be our guide, our help, if we'll just take it as the Word of God as what it is and not negate it, not try to gloss over it, not try to make it say something that it doesn't say. The Bible says we will grow and we'll be equipped. Again, everybody wants to be equipped, right? Everybody in here wants to do what the Lord would have you to do. Is that true? This is part of it. This is not easy on our flesh. Because your flesh and your natural, your body and mind, it just wants everything now. It wants to understand everything. It does not want to walk by faith. Your flesh is unrenewed. Your flesh, if you just leave it to itself, it'll do everything it wants to do, unconcerned with anybody else, unconcerned with your future. It's like, I want it now. I want to understand it now. What does that sound like? That sounds like a baby. Right? Little child. I want it now. You try to reason with the child, I don't care. I want it now. Right? Yeah, but mommy says this. I don't care. I want it now. You need to crush that in your child. That is rebellion. And when we deal with that, whether it's in our children, in ourselves, anything that rises up against godly principles, against what the Lord said, against the Word, we need to shut it down. No, you will do what the Lord says. Self, you are going to do. You are going to be where the Lord tells you to be, but I don't feel like it. Didn't ask you anything about how you felt. I didn't ask you how you were thinking about it, how you felt. The Word says it. We know the Word says it. It's right there in this scripture, in this scripture, in this scripture, in this scripture. It doesn't matter how I feel like it. I know at the end of the game, when I'm leaving this earth, I will look back, if I do the Word, and say, thank God, I did what the Word said, even though I didn't understand. If I look back and said, I want to understand it first, and I go ahead and do all the things that the Word said not to do, I'm going to look back and I will regret and say, oh Lord, just like the proverb says, how I rejected understanding, how I rejected my teachers. Oh, if I only would have done what I heard, I would not be in this position now. Does anybody in this room, in the sound of my voice, say, that is what I want to do when I'm leaving this earth? I want to have that just very acute sense of regret that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Would anybody say, that's how, when my life and my race here is done, I want to look back and just say, I wish I would have done that. 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 Nobody thinks that way. But right now, when we're going through it, it's so easy to say, I don't care. I want to do it now. I want to do it my way. It doesn't matter. Who cares? The future is too far out in front. It will come. And all too quickly. It's going to come. If Jesus doesn't come back, we are going to all leave this earth. We are all going to come to that place where we look back and look over our life and it's done. At that point, we can do nothing to add. If we're on our way out, if we're seeing heaven, there it is. Once you cross that boundary, you cannot. I mean, if you're gone for good, I mean, there are people that have gone to heaven and the Lord sent them back. But I'm saying, if you've actually transitioned and gone over and your race is done, you can't add to anything you did here, regardless of how much you feel. Regardless of how much you want to change it, we can't do it. So God already knows what is right and true and just. He knows what will hold up decades from now. He knows what will hold up next year. He knows what will hold up in any economy, any situation. He's given us His Word. He's given us teachers and pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists to keep us where we need to go, keep us fired up, keep us equipped, and if we'll yield to it, if we'll say, Lord, Your Word will be, Your Spirit and Your Word will be my guide. I will do what you tell me to do. And if I know something today, and I know what it says, I know we've all heard things like this. I understand that. But there's a difference between hearing it and just making a decision in our hearts once for all that we will be doers of the word. If we know what it says, if we know this is something that God's been dealing with us in this certain area, and we've tried to push it off, and we've tried to push it off, and we've tried to push it off, today we can just say, Lord, okay, enough games. You want me to do whatever, I'm doing it. I yield to you. I want what you have for me. I know you're not trying to hurt me. I know you're not trying to trick me. I don't understand everything about this. I don't understand this portion of Scripture and your word completely with everything, but I know that's what it says. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. So, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to act on it. I yield to you. Amen. Now, your flesh may not jump up and down right now and said, ooh, I have goosebumps. That's what I want to do. But this will get us where we need to be. This is meat. This isn't like dessert. Or, you know, whatever. Vegetables, whatever the thing is you think you're like, well, I don't know if I want to eat that. These things, we need to know. This is where the rubber meets the road. And so many people do not want to hear this anymore. It's like, no. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to listen to who I want to listen to. And that's what I want to do. And then what? Have problem and have a problem and have a problem and have a problem. And then want to go to this person to get prayed for. And then this person to get prayed for. And all the while, if we were honest, God has already told us what we need. He's already showed it. You say, well, I just don't know. What? God, if you'll get yielded before Him and say, Lord, whatever, enough games, I'm not blacking anything out of the map, wherever, whatever, you show me and I'll do it because your word is true. You'll have your answer. Do we want to be equipped or not? Do you know if we're going to be equipped? Do you know if we're going to be fully qualified? In other words, if you're not qualified today, but you're going to be qualified, that implies that you're going to have to change. Is that true or not? Your flesh, my flesh, it does not want to change. Has anybody ever said, well, I just love change. I love it. It's always so easy. In other words, something I'm doing today and I have to change the thing I've done for the last 15 years, I'm going to do it a different way. Anybody tells you that's always easy, they're either selling something or they're just outright lying to you. Right? No. You changing is painful on your flesh, on yourself. You say, oh, I've done that this way. You mean I have to do it different? Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that looks real good on paper. You ever found that out? You draw up a new plan, new schedule, new exercise regimen, new budget, whatever. It looks real good. And looks like everything can fit. Until you actually start to go do it. And even for a few days, you can mess things around to what's, yeah, I'm still doing this because you're just kind of putting everything over here. But the rubber will meet the road to where, now I have to eat that thing I really don't want. I've gotten through three meals, but I got to do it again. I don't really want to eat that anymore. Tell you what, I'm not against Filipino food at all. I went on a missions trip to Philippines back in 2005. And we had great hosts there. I mean, these people were great. The church there was great. They had just homemade Filipino food. The first day, I mean, it was awesome. Second day, it was really good. And third day, I mean, it was all right. But I tell you what, after about the ninth day, we were at Saturday, I think it was Saturday night or whatever. We were in this buffet over there. I was looking for anything that was close to American food. I was like, I can't take it anymore. If I were called over here for a month, I'd have to go push through that wall, but I'm not. All I want is an American cheeseburger or pizza or something. But they didn't have any of that, and the beef tasted different because it was like from Australia. So if you got a burger, it tasted different, so you didn't want that. So I looked everywhere in that buffet, and I looked and I found they had turkey. Just like you would have for Thanksgiving, just sliced turkey, and that's what I ate. I don't think I ate hardly anything. I had it, like a pop or something. That was it. And you say, well, you know, Jim, you're just toying the flesh. Okay, but I had 9 days of being tired and going and preaching to everybody, and it was like, I'm done with this. But you could have told me, I mean, the first day I was like, I could eat this. You know, rice, and fish. They have like 20 different types of rice that they can identify just by looking. Of like white rice or whatever. And they love rice. And they think, oh, you know, you're, the one guy was telling me, oh, your cheeseburgers and fries and everything are just, wait, they're not filling and everything. And I'm looking at him going, I would like some of that right now. So, you know, by the end, I was just, you get up in the hotel and it's rice and fish and whatever. That's what happens. We think, well, I'll just change this and I'll change this and I'll change this. But sooner or later, you're going to hit this wall where, oh, I actually have to change something and do something different than I did before to go up. And at that point, that's where you hit something. It's like, no, your flesh is actually going to change. Not just shuffle stuff around, not to put it over here, then put it over here. At some point, it's just going to hit this wall to where something's going to change or you're not, and you're going to stay where you have or you're going to go up. Right? That process, at least I found, is never easy. But we all say, but I want to be equipped. Ooh, I want the will of God. I want to go to the next step. What I found is every time you go to that next step, you are going to hit a wall where your way of doing things does not help you anymore. You can't go to the next step without you changing something. How is that change going to come? The opportunity for change to come is going to come through the Word and the Spirit putting His finger on something and saying, this is the next step. You do this, you move up. He won't put it that way. He'll just say, just impress on you. Here's what you need to do. And if we'll be obedient, and if we'll be faithful, we'll just take one step and then another step and another step. And you hit some place where you're like, I don't know, I don't understand. Why do I have to do this? That's the wrong question. The right question is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you want me to change this, if this is what it takes, fine, I'll do it. And you'll be equipped and you'll be strengthened and you'll start, your life will look more and more like the Word. And you'll be so thankful when you look back and say, I'm so thankful I did this. But when you're looking for, how many can honestly, you raise your hand and you say, I've changed something. I made a change. I learned a new skill. I went up a level and I'm so thankful for where I am today because of it. It wasn't easy, but I'm so thankful I'm on this side. But it's never so when you're in front of it going, I don't want to change this. I don't want to do this. Right there, you don't want to do it. But once you get to the other side, then you look back, you say, I'm so thankful. Oh, Lord, I see your plan. It's so much easier to be there. But the fact is, if we're going to go up with God, it's not going to just be a plateau for the rest of our life. It's going to be more like steps. You're going to have to hit up, and then you're going to be at that, you're going to get comfortable with that level, and you're going to be okay, and then God's going to start pushing you up. And you can tell when that starts to happen. It's like the way you used to do stuff, and stuff starts getting frustrated, but then if you'll just yield, pretty soon you'll be here again. And then you'll be going, and you'll get used to it. You'll say, okay, yeah, this is good. I like it here, and then it starts going up again. But if we'll yield to Him, if we'll say, Lord, I understand what you want me to do today. I see that much, and I'm going to yield to it. We're on the right track to just being fully set, fully equipped, fully in our place. Amen? Hallelujah.